This is the Good Things Guy podcast with myself, Brendan DeCue, South Africa's very own Good Things Guy. I'm on a mission to change what the world pays attention to. I truly believe that there's good news all around us, and I spend my time hunting down and reporting on the best good news stories from South Africa and the world. In the Good Things Guy podcast, you'll meet these everyday heroes and hear their incredible stories.
Greg Crick, a seasoned actor hailing from Cape Town, boasts an impressive international career with over 90 screen acting credits to his name. Recognized as South Africa's most internationally credited actor in his category, he's earned accolades and memberships in prestigious organizations like the Television Academy of Arts and Sciences, and served as an official Emmy judge. Greg's career highlights include leading roles in acclaimed productions such as the Emmy-winning The Serengeti Rules, the Oscar-nominated Incognito, and the award-winning The Recce. He currently stars as Marcus in Zack Snyder's epic sci-fi franchise Rebel Moon, which you can watch right now on Netflix. In his flourishing career, Greg has shared the screen with Hollywood stars like Morgan Freeman, Dylan O'Brien, Kevin Hart, Scarlett Johansson, Channing Tatum, and Miley Cyrus. And we have him on the show today. Greg, welcome to the Good Things Guy podcast.
Hey, thanks so much, Brent. Listen, I'm a big fan of the show and what you guys do. It's awesome. You guys are building South Africa, that I know.
Oh, thank you so much, Greg. Listen, you've had an impressive journey from Cape Town to Hollywood. Can you tell us a little bit what was your inspiration into getting into acting? Let's start there.
Absolutely, man. Well, you know what? I trace it back. I did many things in my life so far, but I do trace the early seeds back to my grandmother. She took care of a lot of HIV/AIDS orphans throughout South Africa and other parts of Africa. And my earliest memories are I remember playing soccer with the orphans, and then, you know, during lunchtime, my gran would nudge me and she'd kick off with saying, "Listen, tell them a story." And it was back then that I realized, listen, storytelling is a powerful platform to just be able to connect with the world, you know. And beyond that, she also sent me to to certain summer classes, and slowly but surely it all built up. And then I would say the watershed moment was when I was part of the top billing presenter search, which led to a top billing directing job around 10 years ago to the day. And I dabbled with acting up until that point, but it was when my mom was diagnosed with cancer and doctors believed she had 3 months left to live that I things in my life really changed, and I pivoted and slowly but surely started, you know, focusing on doing this full time. And I can gratefully say that that's what I'm doing today. So it's been a long journey, you know. Acting for me is something that's not just a job. It's really something that I use as a vehicle to connect with people, and that's also been a major part of my healing as a person too.
Greg, thank you so much for being so vulnerable in sharing your story. And that's the thing, right? We all have a story. When I opened the show today, I started off with an extensive list of work that you have done and people that you have worked with. And this is such a loaded question, but what is a highlight in your career?
Thanks so much for that, Brent. Listen, man, I always say this is so tough to be able to kind of like highlight or pick out. But I guess there are a few milestones, you know, in any actor's career. I think your first thing is always, listen, you want to be a working man, you know, you want to be a working actor. So I'd say one of my first was obviously having my first leading role as a leading man. And that was a movie with Lionsgate called Born to Win that was based on a South African story. So that one was a big one. I'd say the other one was my first international movie that was with Morgan Freeman, Olga Kurylenko, and James Purefoy that we got to shoot in Cape Town, which is called Momentum. The other one was The Recce, in the sense that it was both a lead, but also for me, I shifted my mindset and my work ethic drastically in the process of making that movie. And I've never looked back since. So The Recce was always special for me too, in terms of what it represented and what I put in for that one. And then after that, it was, I guess, in my short time that I've been in America, it's been a couple. It was the Kevin Hart project, Die Hard, as well as Rebel Moon recently, and then another movie that's coming out soon with Scarlett, you know. So, you know, in that sense, all of them have their own criteria why they highlighted, but you know, it's these milestones you want to reach, you know. And for me, the recent batch of projects is a good indicator for me that, you know, being in the American market, coming up against Hollywood actors, I'm grateful that, you know, from that talent pool, there's progress, you know. So, yeah.
So I'm glad that you brought up Rebel Moon because it's generating a lot of buzz here in South Africa. What was it like working on such a huge production with Zack Snyder?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people will have the same feeling, even if you're not an actor. But for me, it was like going to a theme park every day, you know. But the only difference is you a camera is put on your face. It was insane. I mean, like, you know, just like the normal traditional processes, I had to submit an audition, and in this case, I was very lucky that they, you know, sometimes you have a few rounds before you get the official news. But with this one, it was kind of crazy. I happened to be in Cape Town at the time that I submitted the audition for this. And then my manager in the US, she called me in the wee hours of the morning around like 3 or 4 o'clock. And I was a little bit discombobulated. And when I got the call, I was like, sure. And then the next morning, I actually woke up and I was like, wait a minute, did I dream about getting the gig? And then, lo and behold, it became a real thing. But it was amazing. I got to tell you, Zach is an incredible leader and director, and for me, it was insane. I mean, the franchise is stacked with so many people. To literally, you know, like be surrounded by Charlie Hunnam, and I got to meet Sir Anthony Hopkins for a day. Even though he's voicing the one character that I interact with, getting to meet my heroes, Jaimon Huntsu, Sophia Boutella. It was just absolutely nuts, you know. And what's great for me is, and Brent, I'm sure you'll agree, but like the last while, South Africans are really just making their footprint across the board. And obviously, let me not forget my co-star in Rebel Moon, that's also a South African veteran, Brandon Orette. You know, like it was so nuts getting to be able to plant the South African flag in such an internationally represented cast. It's a tremendous honor, and I mean, you know, I still feel like a 5-year-old kid in a candy store.
Yo, you're living your best life. And I must tell you, Brandon, I actually interviewed him a decade ago when I was working on Cliff
Wow.
Central. He was one of my sort of big interviews that I had when I was still a very, very, very small fish in a very big pond. As someone who has worked in both South African and international film industries, what do you see? Is there a big difference between South Africa and the States when it comes to filmmaking?
Look, it depends. I mean, it's difficult. What I say, where I will say there's no difference is that I 100% stand by my guns that South African talent doesn't, you know. I love what Dricus du Plessis says, "Le Vietnie wat ons Vietnie," you know. And I absolutely, having produced myself as well in the South African market, our talent is just incredible. There's a depth and substance to South Africans that we have something in addition to what the world has to offer. So for me, it's an exciting time in the sense that I really do feel that our talent pool, not only just our actors, but our directors, as well as our writers, we're breaking through at the highest level, you know, in terms of our various industries. So I stand by that. What I will say in terms of the differences, you know, being in Hollywood now, you know, no matter where you would have come from in the world, it's just the level of detail, and I would say probably the pressure as well as the work ethic. It's just different. You know, you're now operating at an Olympic level, if, you know, to make an analogy, in the sense that anyone who competes at the World Cup rugby or the Olympics, it's a jump. It's a jump, no matter where you're from, you know, because this city in and of itself has attracted the world's best, you know, at what they do. And it is difficult. It has been crazy. But in the same breath, I would say is that what I'm loving and what I'm seeing across the board for us as South Africans is, you know, we owning who we are. We're not trying to be versions or copies of anybody else. And I feel the more that we've been surrendering and accepting, you know, the uniqueness that we do have, and the unique sort of point of view that we get to contribute to whatever project we're doing, that is just bearing a lot of fruit recently, and the world is listening. And I would say that's the major difference. Although, look, the Americans are lucky; they've got the bigger budgets, you know. So I feel South Africans have to work 10 times harder, in the sense that you often have people fulfilling many different roles at the same time, where, yeah, they have the luxury of having the budgets to, basically pay for teams and teams of people to do the same thing.
So for our listeners, and maybe there's an aspiring actor from South Africa that's listening to the podcast, what advice would you give them when speaking about breaking into the international film scene?
This is going to sound like a crazy thing to say, but I always love the saying, do not despise humble beginnings. There's just, Brent, I've always been of the camp that believes, we all get handed a different set of cards in life. You can never predict that, right? You can never control what life has handed you or where you're from. And trust me, if you knew the beginning and origin stories of where I come from and what I've been through in life, you'd understand what I'm actually saying right now. And I say, all you got is how you respond. It's not what happens to you, that's how you respond. So with that being said, always do the best you can with what you have where you are. I'm going to say that again. Do the best you can with what you have wherever you are. And I would say the advice I didn't want to receive years ago when I started was, make sure that in your local market, you are doing your absolute best. And to the aspiring actor in South Africa, I would say, number one, believe in yourself. You have to believe in yourself before anyone else is going to believe in you. Number two, literally look at your local market, whether that's a film school, whether that's the local film industry. Do everything you can there to become the best version of yourself that you can be. And number three, if you are in an area where nothing's going on, become the leader there. If you know a friend and that's what I did early on, is that I rallied people around me, people who were cinematographers, writers, producers, directors, and we formed a collective. And when we weren't getting professional gigs, we were creating our own content. So what I'm saying is, don't wait for an invitation to become the best version of yourself. And here's the kicker, right? Hollywood has come to South Africa. I myself am a example of that. Like, I wouldn't have been able to get my green card if it wasn't for the American credits that I got on South African soil. So it's a great time to be in South Africa, to be able to take shots at the hoop, to be able to work on Hollywood projects from South African territory. And then you'll know when your time is right to be able to, continue that journey, and to work at the highest level. So So if you forget everything I've just said, Hollywood has come to South Africa. Make sure that you are doing the best you can with what you have, and just enjoy the journey.
Is there a moment in your career where you felt there was an obstacle that you had to overcome? And perhaps how did you overcome that obstacle?
That's a great question, Brent. I will tell you that even to this day, the obstacles never stop. I wish I could say it was just one moment. It is a perpetual state of obstacles. There are so many factors outside of your control as an artist, as a performer, as I'm sure as everybody knows. And one thing you can bet on is that rejection is such an essential part of this journey somehow. But the thing that you've got to do is, in the face of all the factors you can't control, sometimes you literally are too young, too old, too short, too overweight, to this. I mean, there's a myriad of excuses that everyone would like to give you, and it is a hard road, because for the most part you hear nothing until you hear something and you go with those. But literally, I would say how I overcame these this and you must remember, right? Like, for everyone in the industry, as I'm sure in for all of us in the world, no matter what we do, the pandemic had a major ripple effect on all of us, let alone the Hollywood strikes that have happened for the last 2 years, possibly a new one coming soon. In the midst of that, in the midst of these years of setbacks that are outside of your control, what I had to do with myself is, listen, why am I doing this? Why? What the heck? If you can answer that question for yourself, why do you do what you do? I think that's what gives you the purpose to sort of overcome any and every obstacle. So for me, it's like, I love Viktor Frankl's book in terms of A Man's Search for Meaning. Is what he unpacks in that book so well is that in life, no matter what gets stripped away from you, no matter what comes your way in terms of obstacles, one thing that can never take away from us is our attitude and how we respond to things. So for me, that's what I did. I was like, look, I'm being dealt a set of cards. What am I going to do about it? And how I overcame that was, number one, I reconnected with my why. Why do I want to do this? And number two, I got more focused on my process versus my destination, if that makes sense. And what I mean by process is my acting craft, how I go about my life, how I go. And also, I would end with this is the biggest thing I did was separate who I am from what I do. And that was that was the kicker right there.
That's powerful. You mentioned rejection, and I've never actually thought about this, but you're constantly going to interviews for jobs, basically, because you're getting onto new productions. How do you handle that rejection when you don't get the part that you were hoping for?
Oh, that's rough. I mean, I wish I could give you a list of the things that I came second place to or lost out on, or the things that weren't fair, the jobs you did book, but then scheduling didn't work out. I will say that that is legit, like legitimately probably the roughest part of the job, whether you like to admit it or not. The levels and the consistency of rejection. But then again, it's how you frame it, isn't it, Brent? It's how you look at it, right? It's like how I deal with it is that number one, I fundamentally believe you get the jobs that are meant for you. You know what I mean? If I can look myself in the mirror at night and I know that I've done my best with what I can control, then I sleep peacefully. And to get to that point takes a long time to accept and surrender that if I'm doing my best, I trust that the rest will fall into place. And I would say that's the biggest thing. And number two, it's how you look at the rejection. Many times it's how you frame it, right? Like I see an audition or the process of it as another opportunity to act. It's whether I'm getting the job or not, that's irrelevant in some ways. That's literally what Bryan Cranston even says, is that it's my job as an actor to bring that role to life, whether I'm on set or not. And if you've been invited, that's already like a big milestone. And since I've taken that pressure off again, process over destination, no one can mess with you because I would say that's the biggest thing. As a performer, you want to be able to take your power back, and rejection is not only the best fuel, but it is part of the process of you really A, honing your craft, and B, becoming separate from what you do, as I've mentioned earlier.
So I want to speak about your upcoming film, which I'm very excited about, Fly Me to the Moon, which it stars Scarlett Johansson and Channing Tatum. I mean, first of all, what was it like working with them?
Oh, man, also another great one. I will preface that with saying I don't have too much of a major role there, but it is such a big movie, and it's so nice in these times to be in a movie that'll be released in cinemas. It was just incredible, like growing up in South Africa, always being fascinated with NASA and going to the moon and the space race. That's so nuts when you get to step back into the back into time, right? Back into the 1960s. So it was pretty overwhelming, like some of these sets are so big, there's so many moving parts, and then you've got to be ready on the day and pretend that you are not jumping up and down inside. It was incredible. Scarlett is a class act. The director Greg Berlanti has done many things for so many years, and Channing too. And it's so great to to just see these people that you've been watching for years do their thing and to be invited to the party. I think people are in for a major treat with that one. It's going to be a fun one. It's a rom-com set against the backdrop of the Apollo 11 launch, and I was just so grateful to be part of that.
So you mentioned cinemas, and I love going to the cinema. It's one of my favorite things. Popcorn, the sort of tight Coke, and you sit in this world that you can get lost in watching your favorite movies. But it seems, I don't know if it's due to COVID or due to streaming, the cinemas in South Africa are suffering. Ster-Kinekor announced that they're closing down some of them. It's a very sad state of affairs. Is this an international trend?
Brent, it's literally that. You took the words out of my mouth. It's heartbreaking. That's why people forget cinema is such an important part of the industry. It's the heartbeat of it. It's what drives a lot of the business. I think it's a combination of factors. Like one cannot deny the impact of the pandemic. Literally, I mean, years of so many cinemas literally standing empty. You can imagine the financial impact of that, and it's not just isolated to South Africa. It's happening across the world. And that's why big events like Oppenheimer and Barbie last year, and a lot of recent Top Gun Maverick, for example, it's so important, that sort of revival of people going into theaters, because it's A, become so expensive, and B, it's been such a crazy time with the strikes that there's been a backlog of, I guess, films that have been that, of such a high level that people would want to go to the cinema. So, but what I've experienced, definitely a big problem on this side, but people are holding on for dear life, and it's now the American summer, and luckily Bad Boy seems to be performing well enough to keep things going. But we are in desperate need for people to go out to theaters, and I'm hoping to see that day again.
Well, I try to go once a week. It is really my favorite thing.
That's awesome.
Get lost in a movie. Are there any upcoming projects that you can share with us?
Absolutely. I am sadly under an NDA for some of them,
No!
for Fly Me to the Moon comes out, then the director's cut of Rebel Moon, which in and of itself is an entirely different movie with extra scenes, and we shot scenes in different ways, so that comes out after that. I do have an awesome project coming out that is actually official now. It was announced in Cannes, where I play the son of Dermot Mulroney. You'll know who he is. If you don't, he's the guy from My Best Friend's Wedding with Julia Roberts in that movie, and a bunch of other projects. So I play his son in a very awesome Western, as well as Oscar-winning Harvey Keitel, which comes out. It's a project called Laws of Man, a crime thriller Western, which is really, really fun to do. I've also just heard great news that I have booked a role in an Amazon TV series that I can't disclose more info on. So that's what I'll be doing. I also wrapped a project that I can't disclose the title with, where I play a New York broker, which was a lot of fun. It was quite a challenge to get into that one. And then, if I'm not mistaken, so basically from now until at least March, April of next year, I've got about seven releases coming out, and that's all. Most of them are up on IMDb.
Greg, it's really great to see a South African flying the South African flag internationally, doing really good at your job and your craft, and also to hear from your mouth how passionate you are about what you do. For any of our listeners that may want to follow you, are you on the Instas, the Facebooks? Where do they find you?
Thanks so much, Brent. Firstly, I also just wanted to, write back at you guys. Like, thank you so much for being such an amazing conduit to build South Africa. It's so rare that you get platforms and media that really build, uplift, and celebrate South Africans both locally and abroad. So thank you so much for the amazing work you guys are doing with using your platform so well. And secondly, I'm on Instagram. It is at Greg Crick, and the one that's verified. there are a lot of fake accounts that try and clone one, but you can follow me on Insta, and I'd love to hear from you. And I really appreciate all the support that I get from my amazing country.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. It's been great chatting to you, and I am really looking forward to your movies. I'm going to go watch Fly Me to the Moon as soon as it comes out in cinema. Looking forward to that and everything else that you've mentioned. Thank you so much for being
Thank
on the
you.
show.
Thanks so much, Brent. Have a good one.
That's it. Wishing you only good things. And for more good things, visit www.goodthingsguy.com. Okay? Love you. Bye.